Last Thursday, Troy for Black Lives, formerly known as Justice for Demeek, effectively took over the monthly regular Troy City Council meeting by submitting 58 written public comments and demands, which council members then read aloud. This action called out the Troy City Council themselves and Mayor Patrick Madden for lack of transparency of process and apparent inaction on the issue of systemic racism, violence, and unaccountability in the Troy Police Department and Troy City government. Many of these comments drew from personal observations of wildly inappropriate, abusive behavior by the Troy Police Department. Let's start off with one such comment by Troy resident Coley Collin, as read by City Clerk Mara Drogan.
I am a resident and homeowner in South Troy on 2nd Street. I run a business here, and I own two separate parcels of land that I grow flowers on. I'm really invested in this town, which is where my grandparents grew up, where they raised my mom, where I'm raising my own baby, and where I have lived since 2011. During the summer of that year, I was headed home late one night after a concert when I happened to see a man standing on the guardrail of the Green Island Bridge. I was with friends, we dialed 911 and quickly turned around across the bridge again. Police responded very quickly, which was a relief, but I was shocked to see them charge toward the man, tackle him to the ground, and kneel on his back while handcuffing him. This wasn't how I imagined a desperate person would be treated by those who came to help. While I'm glad he wasn't able to hurt himself, I'm still upset by what I saw. This was obviously a minor moment in the history of law enforcement in this city, and a particularly nonviolent one, really. But it was my own very personal moment of reckoning with regard to the efficacy of policing and the vast and serious ways in which it is completely counterproductive and counterintuitive. We have a responsibility to think critically in this moment about how we utilize our resources as a municipality and a community. We know that there are grave problems with policing as a whole and specifically within Troy's own police force. It's time to rise to the challenge and take advantage of the work being done by other cities and members of our own community who are conceiving of new and better forms of response. I echo the demands of Justice for Demeek, and I ask you to make progress on these demands now. We demand a civilian review board of police actions with subpoena power and representation of at least 60% of people most affected by police violence in our community. We demand a full and impartial investigation of every injustice, every instance of use of deadly force by a police officer, whether or not it results in a death. This includes injury, and whether or not the victim is alleged to have been armed. When there is evidence of abuse, a vigorous grand jury presentation and prosecution. We demand that Troy Police be defunded and that money from the police department be redistributed. This redistribution is to be run by, determined by, and decided by communities most impacted by violent and murderous policing. This process must center our local Black-led groups, such as Troy for Black Lives, formerly known as Justice for Demeek, who have, again, been making these demands for years. Thank you for reading this letter. I'd love to hear from you and hope you'll follow up.
Next, here's Troy resident David Banks. This comment hints at just how many cases he believes need to see the full light of day.
My concerns are over the total silence from both the mayor and the city council with regard to the movement for Black Lives and police brutality that has swept the nation and Troy itself. Now that state lawmakers have repealed Section 50A of the Civil Service Law, it is now possible for our city government to release any and all police personnel records. Utica and Rochester have already announced steps to offer these records, with Rochester going so far as to create an online database that residents can query using a FOIL request. The availability of police personnel records to the public is particularly important here in Troy because, as was reported in the Times Union, Mayor Madden's legal team cited 50A in keeping secret a September 2018 internal affairs report that clearly stated that Sergeant Randall French had forced the defendant's car off the road, causing it to crash into a concrete barrier, and later lied about it. French also appeared to have lied about the circumstances surrounding his subsequent murder of Mr. Thevin and using his service weapon. The public, but especially Mr. Thevin's family, deserve all records related to his murder, as does Demeek McDonald, who thankfully survived a shot to the head from Officer Gerard Eiler in August 2017. We may also hear about the many other incidents that involved the Troy Police Department since I have lived here, including the June 2010 incident when officers Christopher Polley, Charles Castle, Joseph McNall, and George Anderson assaulted James Foley during a needlessly violent arrest of Shaquem Miller, who died under mysterious circumstances a few years later. We could hear about what led to the $60,000 settlement for James Houle, who was beaten by Officer Kyle Jones, who, according to the Troy Record, allegedly did so because Jones disagreed with how Houle administered the Facebook page. Do the canines have files, too? If so, we might hear about the 2013 case of Theodore Ruff, who was bitten by a Troy canine that had previously bitten two other bystanders, but was nonetheless still allowed to be on patrol. We may also learn more about the Cocopelli saga and how, as Barry and Joseph Glick put it, the Troy Police Department harassed their businesses by parking cruisers outside the bar almost every night, scaring away potential clientele. I hope we also learn more about the 2014 FBI civil rights investigation that the Troy PD had to undergo. Perhaps we will find out how Dominic Comital was able to rack up hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of court settlements before he was finally allowed to resign. Maybe we'll also hear about the details of Sergeant Ron Epstein and Detective John A. Comital Jr., who were allowed to retire after they were involved in a 2017 illegal search and seizure that had them charged with bribery in addition to illegally entering a property. For many of these infractions, I suspect internal documents will reflect what we already know, that many of these officers have been allowed to, as State Supreme Court Justice Peter Lynch, who presided over Sergeant Epstein and Detective Comital's case, put it, leave with clean records if they avoid future legal problems. That is part of the problem here, that a bit of transparency can help solve. It's a small step in the right direction, which would also include giving the newly formed but still inactive CORB subpoena powers and the ability to fire officers they deem a danger to the public. Finally, let us also remember that PBA President Officer Nicholas Laviano stood in front of the City Council as you were considering a resolution affirming Troy Sanctuary City status and blatantly stated that he would gladly violate this resolution every day I work. If this sort of brazen disregard for you, our elected officials, is allowed to continue, then I do not think it would make sense to call our city democracy. It is a police state in the most literal and direct way I can imagine. Either you start to assert yourselves as elected representatives of this city now, or we lose the very basic foundations of what it means to be an American.
As noted by Mr. Banks and many others, with the repeal of Section 50A of the New York State Civil Service Law, certain municipalities, like Rochester and Utica, have taken a more immediate step towards transparency by opening police department disciplinary records to Freedom of Information Law requests or working to enable immediate online access to the public. Even that is not without foreseeable problems, such as which records would be deemed disciplinary and which would not. Troy has done nothing similar and remains opaque. Next up is the comment by Troy resident Dan Pfeiffer, again as read by City Clerk Mara Drogan.
Tomorrow will mark 1 month since an estimated 11,000 people gathered peacefully in Troy to lift up and support our Black friends and neighbors. Today I ask each member of the Troy City Council, but especially my own representative, Anasha Cummings, what will you do to address police accountability? Anasha, in the weeks leading up to your last election victory, I canvassed with you around Hillside. We walked up and down 9th and 10th streets talking to many of my Black neighbors about the coming election. You asked me that day what issues were most important to me. I told you that I had one important issue, police accountability. Anasha, I believe we agree on the importance of racial justice in this moment, yet I am uncertain whether you heard me then. I cannot tell if you heard the 11,000 of us demanding police accountability last month. I cannot say with conviction that you truly represent my Black neighbors in this council. What will you do to address police accountability is what I asked you that day canvassing, and it is still my question for you today. To those others on the council hearing my words spoken aloud on this call, each of you get to decide whether we really do have civilian control over Troy Police. You get to decide to what degree my Black friends and neighbors can count on the Constitution's 14th Amendment of equal protection under the law without regard to any differences of race, of color, or of nationality. Are you listening? I ask each of you, and especially Anasha, to hear the demands of the group Troy for Black Lives, formerly called Justice for Demique. We demand cops stop killing us and our children. We demand a newly formed civilian review board. The review board must have subpoena power and representation of no less than 60% of people most impacted by violence and police violence. It has been 1 month. You can begin the process of reforming the civilian review board today, if you choose to. Not using that power would represent a complicity in a racist system that denies equal protection under the law. Do not shirk your responsibility to the black residents of Troy and to all of us who would also benefit from the same police accountability. If you did hear us 1 month ago, it's time to act like it.
At the end of the city council meeting, council members Ken Zalewski and Susan Steele stated that they had, in fact, been working on the issues presented by Troy for Black Lives, Executive Order 203, and the repeal of Section 50A of the New York State Civil Service Law. Zalewski and Steele announced the impending creation of the Reimagine Troy Community Justice Services Workgroup. The Times Union reports that, quote, the workgroup will have 9 members and would begin meeting weekly in September. The workgroup is to solicit citizen comments and produce a written report by next February for the council and Mayor Patrick Madden, end quote. That timeline may be unacceptably slow for many in the Troy community. I would encourage all of our listeners to listen to all 58 comments and to observe the recorded reactions of the council members themselves in the face of historical change. For the Hudson Mohawk Magazine, I'm Dave Pablo.